B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Misanelli Show on the Xfinity Studio. We're broadcasting from, only from Comcast. As we negotiate another week here on a Tuesday where things get worse and worse. So at the top of the show, we always like to give you the latest on what's going on. And then we'll spin our way into some sports talk. But it's not as much sports talk as it is a sports topic that has to deal with the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll get into that in a second. But right now, Governor Wolf has extended the stay-at-home order. We know that already. Stay in. We're trying to tell people, everybody, to stay in. And social distance, it's the prudent and the right thing to do right now. And we come to you as kind of an alternative. Everybody I know, is you feel shut in and you can't go out and you're afraid to go here, go there, even to the grocery store, because there's been reports of now grocery store employees coming down and testing positive for this. The big news nationally or internationally, the Tokyo Summer Olympics will be postponed for at least a year. We thought that was going to come down. That is a big hit, obviously, to the television network that's going to televise it. The great folks here at Comcast. The United States has reported more than 100 coronavirus deaths in a single day. The total in America is now above 500. It looks like they're going to pass the deal on the stimulus package, economic stimulus package, $2 trillion. Philadelphia also planning to turn Center City Hotel into Philadelphia's first coronavirus quarantine site and use it to house the homeless people who have tested positive for the virus. So if in Jersey, you're getting hit substantially. There were 200 new cases in Pennsylvania. The statewide total in Pennsylvania right now is 851 have tested positive. These are data, the numbers provided by the Department of Health. In Jersey, we know the number is 2844. And in Delaware, 91. But that represents a 42% increase. So it's not getting any better. And at least seven people have died in Pennsylvania of it. So we are here to stress that you must follow rules right now that are in place for your protection. Now, I was reading a story about how New Jersey police had to give a citation to people who congregated in a total of 30 or more people. And it's just that you have nothing to gain by it, folks. Listen, I know that everybody wants to get out. I know that your social life is a very important part of living life. But at this point, you got to sacrifice it for the good of everybody. Zach Ertz will join us at 2:15. We'll touch base with Zach. It's funny about football. Perception is that football is safe. Football is still alive in everybody's mind because it's far away. I mean, we don't know, frankly. What we know about is the NBA and NHL probably aren't going to resume. Baseball, we're hoping will resume late. We don't even know that. Football is in this safe zone that we may have to address eventually. When this thing lasts longer into August and September, and we may lose that season as well. It's all fluid, and we're all living in the same country right now trying to deal with this. So hopefully we can provide you a little bit of information today, a little bit of entertainment, and we're going to continue our Field of 64, which we started yesterday, just to have a little fun and add some levity to this situation. So what has happened locally, and this is a very good discussion point, because I don't really know what to say. We have breaking news.
Literally breaking news. During your open, the Sixers, the thing you're about to bring up, because of the heat they were taking, they have decided to change course and pulling back on these salary reductions. They say, after listening to our staff and players, it's clear that this was the wrong decision.
Well, that is a quick flip that I didn't anticipate, and it was going to lead into a good discussion on what the responsibility is of wealthy owners. And there's two sides to it. Let's be fair about this, okay? So what had been announced is that the Sixers and Devils, who were both owned by the Harris Blitzer Sports Entertainment, Josh Harris owning the majority of both of those, had announced that at-will employees, that employees not under contract, making more than $50,000, were informed that their salaries would be cut up to 20% and that these reductions would start on April 15th and run through June 30th. The company kind of bragged that it would have no layoffs or changes to benefits of 401k plans, but, you know, okay. 401k plans, obviously, is not. They're not gonna. If you're cutting your salary, you're not gonna accumulate as much money in your 401k plan. So, I'm not sure what they thought the reaction was going to be, right? Because on its face, when you do something like that, when rich people do something like that, and they're sitting around a boardroom and they're deciding what to do, does somebody say, "Yeah, I don't know, that's going to be received well by the public"? I mean, maybe it came up and maybe the rich guys overruled it, but it seems so fundamental that that was going to generate negative publicity, and it did quickly. And Adrian Wojnarowski issued a tweet where he said other NBA owners are watching the Sixers and weighing the PR fallout and a desire to do the same with salary reductions. So this was like a test tube lab situation, and the Sixers were the first to do it. And it just doesn't sound right when rich guys have cut normal people's salaries, right? Because a guy like Josh Harris is worth like $3.5 billion. Blitzer probably in the same vicinity. And even Adam Rubin, Michael Rubin, who also is a part owner and who loves to bring celebrities down there. And he's a big celebrity guy hanging out with celebrities and flaunting the wealth of that. And he's worth about $3 billion. So it does seem odd on its face that rich guys were going to do this. Now, there was word that Rubin bucked against it, and we have any confirmation of that. But here's the other side of it. And let's be fair about it. Guys that buy teams are not in the business of losing money. Now, the balance is, if you're not making a great deal of money up front, you're making it in the back end because your asset goes up and up and up and up. And it's not a losing money situation, especially for savvy business guys. And no, when they buy an asset, it's only going to increase, right? It can't possibly lose money. So the fair question is it right to expect rich guys to bite the bullet just for the common man, Tyrone?
And the answer is, if you're truly a rich guy, I think it is fair because when things like this happen, I'm told that the government shouldn't interfere and things like that. Normally, obviously, this is a special case because the private sector will take care of itself. And it's all business owners are not the same. There are tons of businesses right now where that person owns the business is not a rich person. That person now has no income, has no money to pay their employees. Though that's not this. Mm-hmm. These are people that are extremely wealthy, extremely wealthy. And a 20% cut, they will look good in their fiscal. It'll look good in their fiscal thing when they go to their shareholders and stuff like that, when they have their meetings. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't affect their actual bottom line at all. They have more money than they can spend. Those people absolutely have a responsibility. And everybody has a responsibility to do what they can. My responsibility, for example, is to support the local businesses, to buy tablets for children because that's what I can afford. Mm-hmm. His responsibility is to take care of the people who work for him because this is not their fault. That's his responsibility. And I'm glad he finally got it. But the fact that he didn't get it in the first place makes me, and I don't know, I'd probably get in trouble, makes me think less of him. Straight up.
Okay. And listen, I'm on your side because I feel great empathy towards the little guy when it comes to the big guy. And but the other thing is, like, their mindset is, why should I pay people for not working?
Mm-hmm.
Why should I pay people for not working for me? Like, what am I on this earth to be a charitable capitalist? Or am I on this earth to be a capitalist?
You are absolutely on earth to be a capitalist. And nothing he did was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, I'm not saying that there should be a law against it. What I'm saying is that you have to decide what kind of citizen you want to be. And will this cut from April 15th to the end of June make that much of a dent? Would that crush you, that 20%, giving those people that salary? And by the way, all those people want to come to work. Now, it's another thing if a person, even if they got sick or anything else, this is a situation that happened to them. If you don't take care of them, how can you expect them to take care of you in the future? That's where I'm at. And I think all of us have, from you to and me, all the way up and all the way down, everyone has some responsibility. And I don't think he was holding up his end, in my opinion.
I think they think their only responsibility is you get a check that I sign. That's what they think the responsibility is. Like, they don't feel they have a moral responsibility, do they?
The
rich guys that own corporations feel they have a moral responsibility to help their employees?
I would like to think that there's as many Mark Cubans who came out right in the start and said, I'm paying everybody, than guys who wouldn't. I don't want to put all rich guys in one basket. And I think that when I'm talking about times of adversity, I'm not asking anybody to go poor, to go broke, nothing like that. I'm saying when a travesty happens, those who have should morally help those who don't have. Whether that's me or you, all the way up, everyone should do what their part is my point. And yes, I do think you have a moral responsibility, not a law one. I don't want anybody calling in saying that I'm asking for socialism. No. Not a law. Morally, yes, you do have a, all of us do. Every single one of us, every person right now with a job has some responsibility to support someone locally so that they can keep a job. It's all of our responsibility, including them.
We will talk about that a lot during the course of today's show. We'll take a quick break. Zach Ertz is supposed to join us in about 5 minutes. We'll talk to the Eagles tight end about a lot of subjects. Smart guy. Went to Stanford. We'll talk about the world with Zach Ertz after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, it's Mike Missinelli's show. It's 2:17, 2 o'clock hour of the show, brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin, Attention HVAC Contractors. Visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Well, the only sport that really we've had anything to talk about is the NFL. And the Eagles, of course, making some moves. You got the draft coming up while preparing for. So it is a viable sport as opposed to the other ones. And let's get our first guest in here. Good to talk to Zach Ertz. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Zach, how are you managing in these troubled times?
Yeah, you know, obviously we're all doing everything we can. Crazy time. A lot of unknown, a lot of doubt that is able to creep in. But you just got to keep the perspective, man, that we're going to get through this. No matter how long it takes, we're going to get through this, and we're going to be better because of it.
You know, football is still in everybody's mind because it's so far away that we can't imagine the football season being canceled. But we have all these sports in front of us, and even baseball is going to be delayed, and we don't know when that's going to start. It looks like football's still going to come back. How are you guys looking at this situation as far as your upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of taking it as we hear and gather more information. I mean, there's still a lot of decisions to be made before the season starts. Off season was supposed to start April 20th for us. I think that's going to be delayed indefinitely is how they portrayed it to us. So there's a little bit of limbo, but honestly, there's not much we can do right now except do everything we can to beat this virus and listen to our lawmakers in terms of the social distancing and trying to help our front line in the hospitals by doing all the stuff that they ask us to do.
What are you doing? You're obviously in a cloistered. Are you in town here? Are you somewhere else? Like, what's your everyday, how do you proceed?
Yeah, so we're in Philly right now, my wife and I, Julie, obviously. And it's been tough in terms of the workout portion, but we're just doing everything we can. A little home workout set up out here. We did a little yoga session the other day together. So obviously the workouts, not as easy to accomplish, but we're still trying to find ways. The silver lining in all of this is Julie and I are actually able to be together for an extended period of time with no hard end date. So that's kind of, I feel like that's a blessing for us to really just kind of pour into one another in this time. And so we're trying to take advantage of it.
You're lucky in a lot of respects that your wife is a supreme pro athlete. And so that's what you guys do. But I'm thinking about your teammates because, you know, football players, probably more than anybody, except maybe basketball players and the cardiovascular, you guys have to work out daily. I mean, you can't let yourself sit around. So, you know, what are your teammates doing?
Have you been in contact with any of them? What's their routine?
Yeah, so a lot of guys are just kind of setting up home gyms, whether it be ordering weights, doing everything they can to possibly stay in shape. And obviously they kind of experienced this somewhat during the 2011 lockout, where guys weren't able to go into the building to train. And obviously I don't know the stats. I was in the league back then, but I don't think it affected the season. So I'm sure guys are still finding ways, doing everything they can to be in the best shape that they can be.
Talking to Zach Ertz and Philadelphia Eagles. And Zach, of course, you have the Ertz Family Foundation, which is a great thing that you guys are doing. And you just donated $100,000 to Phil Abundance. And these funds are going to provide meals to those in need during the COVID-19 outbreak. Tell me a little bit about that and your mindset in doing this.
Yeah, so Julie and I, when this stuff was all going down last week, we did a lot of research on what would be the biggest impact that we could make in our city. And just talking to people, talking to Phil Abundance, we felt that partnering with them, with their reputation in the city, was the best way to go about this. So we decided to donate $100,000 because they're already into their reserve food supplies for the city, and we're only in late March. So we felt like it was going to be the greatest impact. The way that the dollar is used to goes a long way with them. I think it's only $15 to feed a family of four for 4 days and $25 to feed a family of four for 8 days. So the dollar goes a long way. And so we just wanted to do all this research to make an educated decision and also educate my teammates and some of the other people that would be willing to partner with us. I'm sure you saw Jason Kelce partnered with us, partnered with Phil Abundance, excuse me. He donated $100,000. Connor Barwin donated $25,000. So our goal was not only to make an impact, but also gain as much knowledge and share that knowledge to people that were in similar situations.
Yeah, and to do this, to donate, again, $15, one shelf stable box of four meals for family of four, $25, one shelf stable box of eight meals for family of four. You go to philabundance.org/volunteer to earn more. Now, you've always been conscious, a charity conscious. Where does that come from, giving back to the community?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. You know, obviously Philadelphia means the world to my family. And we've been here for going on 8 years now, and we just feel the love each and every day we've been here. And we feel the love, not only the 16 Sundays in the fall, but each and every day we've been in the city. So we really try and kind of give that love back to the city. And also our faith has been a driving force behind this. Just understanding that we've been given a huge platform and really be able to shed the light in our communities in Philadelphia in particular. So I think it's twofold for sure.
Let me ask you a question, because I can talk to you about anything. You're a smart guy, and we were just talking about a situation with the 76ers where they were going to cut salaries for their employees. What do you think the personal responsibility of people who actually are fairly affluent, and I'm talking about the high-priced pro athlete, the owners especially of these sports teams, what is their responsibility during these times as far as charity goes?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's a tough question because, you know, everyone has their own story. Everyone's got their own financial decisions to make, and so it would be unfair for me to sit up here acting like I have all the answers in the world for each and every specific person's situation. It does sound like the Sixers are kind of going back on that decision to kind of cut the wages by 20%. So I do kind of applaud them for that. But I think everyone's got their own decisions to make, and everyone's got to do their own research. They got to talk to their own people. And I think come up with the decision that makes the most sense for them personally. But like I said, I think it would be unfair for me to kind of give this broad stroke answer for everyone.
That's fair enough. We're talking to Zach Ertz. Let's talk a little bit about the team and what they've done so far. Added a good cornerback and a good defensive tackle, and are shifting some things around. What do you think they've done so far, and what do you anticipate in the future as far as this team building?
Yeah, I think, I'm excited. Obviously, we've identified some key players, some really talented football players. Darius Slay, we were the same draft class back in 2013, so I've known him for a long time, heck of a football player. We've had our battles throughout the year, so I know he's going to help us a lot immediately. Some of the other defensive pieces are going to be huge. I feel like benefits for our football team and Hargrave and some of the other, the linebacker and the safety that we signed. So I'm excited. Unfortunately, I don't know exactly when I'm going to be able to meet all these people and interact with them and see kind of their work ethic, and ultimately their training habits and how they fit into the culture. But I know how he's doing his thing, doing everything he can to vet all these guys. And I feel like we got better this offseason as a football team.
All right. Now, but you, also a very important player is gone. And I'm wondering how teammates felt about Malcolm Jenkins not being re-signed here and being allowed to go to New Orleans.
I mean, obviously, we want all our guys to stay for as long as we can. Malcolm is one of the best, not only football players I've been around, but probably the best leader I've been around, in terms of just his ability to communicate the demands, the standards, and ultimately upholding those standards for the guys and him really embodying those standards first and foremost. And so, we lost a really good player, but it also allows some of the young guys to kind of step up and assume more of a leadership role. But it's not easy losing Malcolm. I mean, there's no other way to put it, but I am confident in the guys that we signed. And like I said, I feel like we got better as a football team this offseason, but I'm going to miss Malcolm. I know for a fact he got me better as a football player going against him each and every day in practice. So I'm excited for when we're able to play each other in the game. Against the Saints.
All right, the last question, and this is on that note, because Malcolm Jenkins leaving, it really is an example of sometimes how the NFL could be a business. Now, you're not a dope, so you know what the story is as far as how teams handle players. And you've probably heard some things about, well, the Eagles are deep at that position. We're trying to get younger. We're trying to lower our salary structure to retool. Does that weigh on you at all?
No, I mean, not really. I mean, I think I'm gonna be. I want to be in Philadelphia my entire career. I've been vocal about that since the get go. Obviously, it is a business, and sometimes things happen that are out of your control. But my goal right now is to be a Philadelphia Eagle for a long, long time. My family loves it here. I love playing here. I want to go down as one of the best Eagles to ever play. So obviously, it's a business. Guys above me have to make those decisions. People in those positions, like Howie or Doug or Mr. Lurie, they're going to do everything they can to make the Philadelphia Eagles better. And I think in the long term that I'm going to be in those plans because I'm not going to let my standards drop by any means. But it is a business, and you do understand that as well.
All right, brother. Listen, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. Keep doing the great work you and Julie are doing, and we'll catch up later.
All right, Mike. Take care.
All right. There he is. Zach Ertz on the Comcast Business Hotline. And, you know, the thing, there's certain guys that root. Like he's rooted. Malcolm Jenkins rooted.
Yes.
And the Eagles went, yeah, well, we're going to have to pull out a root for a certain reason. And you hate to see guys like that. I don't know what they're going to do, frankly.
Yeah.
But the Malcolm Jenkins thing sets a pretty interesting example for what their mindset may be right now as an organization.
You're right. And the thing that troubles me in these times where sports kind of have gone away is that in the case of both Malcolm Jenkins and Ertz, they have made the city of Philadelphia better as time went on. Beyond just playing on the field, they won a Super Bowl, and we appreciate that like a sports fans. But you just mentioned his foundation, mm-hmm. how he's giving back to the city. Malcolm Jenkins did the same thing.
Yep.
When these guys aren't just rooted on the Eagles, they're also rooted in this community. And how do you know when you replace, will the new guy who replaces Malcolm Jenkins live up to him both on the field and off the field? Because there's a void with both when a guy's rooted like that.
And that didn't seem to matter with number 27.
It did not seem to matter. And that's a troubling thing. And that's where, like, the Joel Embiid thing stepping up to pay. I wonder if he sees that and he wants to be rooted. I wonder.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Let's touch on that. First of all, I didn't get the numbers, and we have almost a full board. So the number to get in is 610-632-0975. What I was going to lead up to, in light of the Sixers' decision, that right after the decision to actually announce that they were going to reduce the salaries of employees, 50,000 or more by 20%, Joel Embiid then stepped up and said, okay, I'm donating $500,000
to the medical relief efforts where it would go to employees. And I wonder how much that had an impact on what the Sixers tried to then flop and get rid of that reduction.
It had to be huge because there's not a lot of things going on. So obviously here everybody reacted. We care the games. We care about the Sixers. We're invested in the Sixers. But nationally, on the people from SportsCenter, the Wojs, the Shams, everybody jumped all over this because there's nothing to distract in the sports world. So for 12 hours or whatever, however long it was, they were the only story. And Joel Embiid stepping up makes them look kind of bad. When you're paying Joel Embiid, and Joel Embiid can afford to pay the employees, yet you can't afford to pay them. That
was a bad look. And I think that, I don't know. See, this is the thing about corporate decisions. Like, are there any common men in the room? You know, like, I'm sure there are. And maybe they were just outvoted, but there's got to be somebody going, wait, ho. Do you guys realize, Josh, all due respect, brother, I appreciate my job here, but you're worth $3.5 billion. My man over here, Blitz, you know, you're worth triple bill. You know, it's not going to come off that well.
Hey, Mike.
Yes. And yeah, there's Natalie, by the way.
Yeah.
Natalie is, I was just going to introduce you, Nat, because we are going to do the Twitter poll.
Yeah,
but how are you? Are you on the sofa today?
I am. Well, I'm sitting in a chair today.
Oh, chair today. Okay, very nice.
I just wanted to say, when you know, you think about people like Joel Embiid and people like Zach Ertz, they both come from, you know, pretty humble beginnings. You know, Zach Ertz's mother was a single mother of five.
Yes.
And Joel and his family. So I think that they're already in tune to what can happen when, you know, these grave situations happen. So it's kind of like, is management, have they forgot that these are people's lives, like, and their livelihood that's at stake here?
Yeah, it's a good point. And Tyron brought up Mark Cuban. He's also a guy, a self-made man. Like, he's not a wealthy silver spoon guy.
Right.
So he would get it quicker than some other people.
And that might be why, whether we believe it or not, but the reports about Michael Rubin, who made a lot of his own money, started companies on his own, kind of from much more from scratch, I should say, dropped out of school, for example, did it a different way. That might be why it rubbed him the wrong way.
I tell you, Michael's listened to the show, and I hope, or somebody who knows Michael, I'd love to talk to Michael today about this.
Yeah,
see what side he was on. And, you know, I'm sure they're all going to, you know, kind of rally together here and not speak out of turn. But I would love to hear from Michael Rubin. I'm trying to get in touch with Scott O'Neill, the COO of the operation, to see what changed with the Sixers and what they thought was best.
Yeah, and I know that those guys are in a tax bracket that I can only imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that fully. But I hope they understand that the reaction from people was a human reaction. Like, my reaction isn't so much, oh, we carry the games, oh, I do a Sixer show. It's more like, I know what it's like to be in that pay bracket where I would have got cut.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, could I afford a cut out of nowhere like this for something that wasn't my fault?
Yeah.
When you could afford to pay me? That's where I'm looking at. Like, if you can afford it, why are you cutting me when I didn't do anything wrong?
But here's the other question that attaches this. Again, it's the other side of it.
Yeah.
How long can they be expected to pay the full salaries? If this goes on, this season's going to be blown out. We're not going to see the NBA until it starts up again in October, November.
Yep. In my opinion, if this is the only disruption, you pay.
Okay.
Now, if somehow it goes into next season, totally different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
Totally and completely different ballgame. And if certain people's plans go into place where we're just back on Monday or Tuesday, this will linger that long. That's what the experts say. If we don't do this social distancing and we just go back to normal, this will linger for months and months and months.
Yes.
But if we do the right things, and this does, and in baseball is able to start, and football is able to have a preseason, that would all be a buffer before basketball season. That, to me, is a cut that you have to take, in my opinion.
All right. And Nat, as long as you're with us.
Hello.
We usually start the Twitter poll at 2:20, but we had Zach. So it's time to start the Twitter poll today in the 2 o'clock hour, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Get your lawnmower, zero turn, or any of your small engine tools up and running again in time for spring with Paul B. Moyer & Sons Online Parts Warehouse. Visit poweredbymoyer.com today. Miss Nat.
Thanks, Mike. Over 800 votes today. Even though they have reversed the decision to cut salaries, will this impact your opinion of Sixers ownership moving forward? 71% said yes, 29% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much. All right, 610-622-0975. We'll resume the Field of 64.
Can't wait.
After the next break.
Okay.
So we'll start fresh.
All right.
And I'll recap what's going on. In fact, hold on. Let me see if I can recap that now.
I'm very interested.
Let's recap it. Hold on one second here. Let me see where it is. Oh, my. I can't find it. Come on, man. Where is it?
Well, maybe during the break.
Did you put it
in the bag? It can't be gone.
It's got to be in here.
Otherwise, we got to start from scratch and remember the winners. I think I remember all the winners, but we have to reprint it in the whole nine.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good if I lost it. But all right. Well, anyway, I'll find it. Let's go to the phones. Avery in Sicklerville starts things off. What's up, Avery?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's going on, Avery?
I'm glad that the owner of Sixers decided to do the right thing and reverse this before it started to make the Sixers organization look worse, because all over Twitter, people were just agreeing, like, just surprised with that decision.
They're surprised by the decision to...
I mean, they're surprised by his initial decision before he reversed it. But
yeah.
I'm glad that's settled. But during this crisis, people forget who are the biggest folks that suffer, the class of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're just upset and understandably, because they're not going to have any senior activities like prom or graduation or going to Disney World on the senior trip. It's just, we just forget about that, and it's just sad that might happen.
Yeah, I get you, and they did the right thing and reversed it, and they did it within quick fashion. So I can't sit here and rip them. I would like to get an explanation from them on what the deal was.
Yeah, I think we might get an explanation soon. It's a good thing what he did, though. Shows character, shows push.
Yes, absolutely. All right, I have found the... Thank you for the call, Avery. I have found the Field of 64. And so here's the way it worked. As we started out, it's sitcoms on the left side of the bracket. It's dramas on the right side of the bracket. So we're going to get a sitcom versus a drama in the end, in a national championship game. So... Seinfeld was the number one seed. Seinfeld beat Everybody Loves Raymond. 2.5 Men in an upset did not please a lot of people on Twitter, including Tyrone. 2.5 Men as a 9 seed upset Parks and Rec.
Yeah, it was fraudulent. It's all right. Like, I'm still like, it's still the worst thing so far to happen.
Okay. I Love Lucy beat Happy Days as a 5 seed. All in the Family is the 4 seed, won over Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Martin beat the Honeymooners. Yeah. Martin, the 11th seed, beat the 6th seed. MASH beat Curb Your Enthusiasm. A lot of people disappointed at that result.
People that love Curb, love Curb.
Yes. The Cosby Show prevailed and beat the Jeffersons. And The Office, the 2 seed, prevailed. If we go down now to the lower left-hand quadrant, Cheers beat King of Queens. South Park beat Frasier. The Big Bang Theory beat Veep. Golden Girls, in the upset so far of the tournament, defeated Married with Children.
Outright.
A lot of people did not like that result.
Well,
even though you loved it.
Loved it, because it was a 50-50 to me.
Roseanne beat the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
And that one, in hindsight, after, because we mentioned all the spinoffs.
Uh-huh.
There was like 2 more we didn't mention. In hindsight, it has to go. Bad call.
The what?
In hindsight, that was a bad call.
It was?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, like 27 spinoffs from a show. It was groundbreaking.
Uh-huh. It was a groundbreaking show.
More groundbreaking than Roseanne.
But you touted Roseanne the whole time.
Yeah, Roseanne deserved to be in there.
Okay.
But in hindsight, when I looked into it closer, into my sitcom studies, Mary Tyler Moore better. But we live with it.
Yes. All right. And let's see. Simpsons beat Good Times. So that left us with 2 left. The 2 games left to close out that bracket.
Meanwhile, on the other side, we've had one completed drama bracket, and that was the lower right-hand quadrant. Breaking Bad, the one seed, beat Beverly Hills 90210. Grey's Anatomy is an 8 seed, beat the 9 seed ER. The X-Files beat Narcos. Columbo, in an upset, beat the Twilight Zone in a matchup of old school dramas.
My dad was so happy.
He was?
So Columbo? Happy that Columbo won, yeah.
But, yeah, all right. And Law & Order beat The Shield, which you didn't like and I loved. The West Wing beat Dallas. The West Wing was a 3 seed. The Walking Dead, in a mild upset, beat the 7-seeded 24. And Sopranos survived beating House of Cards. Sopranos, the number 2 seed in this bracket. So on the other side, we continue it with after your commentary today, whatever it's on your mind, we will give you a field of 64 game as we edge our way towards the national championship later this week. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
It's 2:46 on the Mike Missinelli Show. It's interesting. We have just had some odds posted in Vegas on where certain guys will be drafted. Now, as it pertains to the Eagles and their desire to add a wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, the over-under on where he will be drafted, Tyrone, is what?
I'm going to guess 8.5?
12.5.
12.5. Okay, well, no, he's the second one. Okay, yeah, 12.5. Okay.
Yeah, Judy's the first one.
Yeah, Judy's number one. So is he 8.5?
Judy's not listed so far. Let's see. Let's see where he is. Yes, he is. Ho!
Where's he at?
12.5.
He's also 12.5.
Judy is 12.5 with CeeDee Lamb.
Interesting.
Henry Ruggs the third.
Well, he's lower than them. We've been saying 14.5?
15.5.
Okay. That makes sense.
Where are you going to go?
Well, okay, in that scenario,
Isn't it interesting that we said 15 would be the spot you had to get to?
Mm-hmm. That's why I personally, Judy, I think, is the best player of the three. If I can get, if I'm trading to 15, do I put in the extra to try to get to 12 to get the number one receiver? Now, I know that Ruggs has the speed component, and maybe he projects. But if Judy's the guy that's going to come in and run the whole route tree and be the guy, do I spend the extra to get to 12 if I have to trade up anyway and get the – you understand what I'm saying?
I understand completely.
Because I thought he was top 10 all the way, and he's out of the mix. But if he falls, I got to try to get a little – I got to get to 13 to the 49ers and hope. Rather than 15, I got to call the 49ers.
I get you.
To 13 – and hope. That's where I got to be now.
All right, now, if you're not favorite trading draft picks because you're ready to burn a couple, you want to stay at 21, you pick 21st. Justin Jefferson, over under, 21.5.
That's
unbelievable. All right, let's go to the phone and talk to Thomas and Broomall. Thomas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Thomas?
So I want to talk about the Eagles a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see them move up in the draft, to be, you know, at pick 10. I know you guys are saying, either CD or Judy will be at like the 12th pick right around there.
Mm-hmm.
I think because some of the mock drafts, they have, you know, either the 49ers or the Raiders. Be one of the teams that are looking at both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if we move up, would our 21st pick of the round, first round, and the second round be second round pick be enough?
No,
not at all.
Nope.
No. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I'm hoping one of those guys we get, and I do like the moves that the Eagles did in the free agency, getting Slay and Parks.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see them also get a receiver in free agency, maybe an A.J. Green type guy, and maybe Andy Dalton, you think?
Who's an A.J. Green type of guy out there? The only guy, really. Robbie Anderson, is he that? Is he good enough? I don't know. Is he a star caliber wide receiver? He's on the border.
He played with the Jets last year, so, I mean, the Jets didn't really do a whole lot last year. So
no, good, you know, not a bad player. I don't know if he's the guy that you would... Yeah, I think you really have to draft a key cog here.
Yeah.
All right, man, it's time for you to pick a game.
All right.
And I know you're excited.
Yeah.
And you got a tough one here.
Okay.
And I don't even know if you know these two shows.
I was going to say, hopefully I've seen them.
Man, can we give Thomas this? He doesn't really have any familiarity with these two shows.
Well, you've been going. You haven't really made an exception.
I know, I haven't made an exception. All right, so the 7th seed is Taxi.
Okay.
The 10th seed is Sanford and Sons.
I've seen Sanford and Sons for about 5 minutes of my life. And since that's about it, I'd go with Sanford and Sons.
You have never seen Taxi?
No.
All right. Sanford and Sons defeats Taxi. Mild upset there.
Yeah, the good thing is it's not an egregious one where we got to use like an executive challenge. Like, you can go either one.
Yes.
You can see. Some people like Sanford and Sons.
My personal favorite is Sanford and Sons.
Yeah.
In this particular case.
Yeah, Taxi for me, because I went back and watched.
A lot of people love Taxi.
Really good. Andy Kaufman. I love Andy Kaufman.
Yes.
But the legend of Andy Kaufman grew after his death. I wonder if people had that same attachment in real time to Andy Kaufman.
So who else was in that show? Jeff Conaway?
DeVito.
Danny DeVito and Tony Danza?
Yeah, Tony Danza was on there. And then that's how you got Mork and Mindy, right? From Robin Williams. Wasn't that a spinoff from Taxi?
Or am I? No,
that was Happy Days.
What was it? Happy Days.
It was Happy Days.
Yeah. Ork. Mork from Ork appeared in Happy Days, I believe.
Yeah, but Taxi was a legit show. Another show my dad, we watched Nick at Night, and I ended up seeing a lot of Taxi, too.
Yeah. Sanford and Sons is. What was I watching? I was watching one the other day. Where a guy showed up, a friend of Fred's, and claimed that he was Lamont's father.
Oh,
did you see that one?
Yeah, I saw that.
What the guy's name was?
I don't remember.
But he said he snuck in the bedroom of Elizabeth, and he thought. But here it turned out it was Aunt Esther. His room. He snuck in.
He snuck in Esther.
It was Aunt Esther.
You know
that he had relations with.
Yeah, the ultimate. Irony, I guess, in a way, is how Red Fox died in real life.
Yeah, how did he die in real life?
Onset of a heart attack.
Oh, he did? On Sanford and Sunset?
He was doing a show called, I think, The Royal Family at the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's how he passed in real life.
Well, you know, Red cursed. I told you the story. He cursed me out in Las Vegas parking lot.
Well, he could get.
A drugstore parking lot.
Why? No, you never told me.
I never told you?
No.
Oh, I was covering something out there. I had a rental car. I pulled to a Rite Aid parking lot.
Yeah.
And there's this brown convertible roadster, like one of those kit cars.
Yeah.
And it's backing out of a space. And so I stop.
Mm-hmm.
And my man keeps backing. And all of a sudden, he turns around and starts MFing me.
Well,
yeah, I mean, like, I'm not doing anything. I stopped for the guy, and he thought I kept coming, and he cursed me out. I go, "That's Red Fox."
Cursing you out, Red Fox.
It was Red Fox cursing me out.
Yeah, I have his old records now.
Like, he was tearing into me.
He was prone to curse.
He has the filthiest albums ever.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I don't know how he got a network TV show.
Oh, he went crazy on me, man.
Oh, no.
F-bomb left and right.
Felt comfortable doing it, too.
Hold on. I'm stopped. Relax. I go, that's Red.
Oh, no. I got cursed off by Red Fox.
610-632-0975. Two open lines. You can grab it. 3 o'clock hour. Mike Mussinelli show ahead.